Virtuosa is the new two-disc recording from the Quebec Ensemble. It boasts 15 works that were either composed or performed by women and was recorded on historical instruments. The new project reflects on 5 years of the Virtuosa Project, a series of concerts, lectures, and web videos dedicated to women musicians of the 17th, 18th, and 19th centuries. It importantly puts a spotlight on relatively unknown women who made substantial contributions to Western classical music. The objective is to provide cultural and socioeconomic context for the women's lives as well as for their music and to highlight their accomplishments in the face of adversity. Infusion Baroque has been a champion of early music over the last decade. The ensemble's dynamic concerts and recordings have been praised and award-winning. Joining us is Salini Amouat, the Baroque violinist with the ensemble. She's originally from Chicago and has performed with the American Baroque Orchestra, the Pacific Baroque, the Bangkok Symphony Orchestra, and many other ensembles and symphony orchestras across Asia. Salini Amouat, welcome to the New Classical FM.
Hi, Mark. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for being here. Why Virtuosa as a project and now an album? We've seen projects that perhaps feature contemporary women composers as a theme, specifically this year, but this really does look back and has been a focus for Infusion Baroque for some years now.
Yeah, as you mentioned, this album is sort of the culmination to date of work that we've been doing since 2017. And being a period ensemble, our focus is on historical performance practice. So that includes playing on historical instruments, so instruments that would have been performed on in the 17th, 18th, and 19th centuries, but also performing the music as it would have been performed during the life of the composer. But it's very rare that you come across women's names in the musical history books. And it made us reflect as women performers, and much of our work is focused on the music that was written primarily by men and performance practice that was recorded by men. It kind of got us thinking that where were the women? We felt it was really important to shine a spotlight on the historical women that did in fact exist. They were very active despite having to overcome all kinds of social barriers, but they were alive and active during their time, and they made significant contributions to music history and really shaped how we perform classical music today. And the fact that we as women can be performers in the public eye, this is all to do with the work that they did.
Talk about, for people maybe wondering, what those period instruments might be, maybe in your ensemble, but beyond. And I know gut strings are sometimes used. I mean, talk about what that world is and what it is to champion it.
The instruments that we play on in our ensemble are the flute or recorder, played by my colleague Alexa Rainwright. I myself play the violin, the Baroque violin. My colleague Andrea plays the Baroque cello and viola da gamba. And Rona Nadler plays the harpsichord, which is sort of the predecessor of the piano, sure, the modern piano. In this recording, we also have a guest vocalist by the name of Ariadne Lee. And for our later repertoire, we also work with a forte pianist called Gilly Loftus. So the forte piano is sort of the next evolution after the harpsichord before we get to the modern piano. The beauty behind playing these historical instruments or the copies of historical instruments is that you're really immersed in a very, very different kind of sound. You mentioned gut strings, so that is one part of what makes an instrument have a historical sound, because metal strings weren't used on string instruments until around the turn of the 20th century. With the gut strings, you get a very warm sound. There's a different kind of blend that happens amongst string instruments as well when you're on gut strings.
It's fascinating, and it's nice to have that context as we listen to this record. I've been reading some of the stories from the project, and the idea that women wouldn't have been able to play certain instruments going back to part of this era, and having to persevere through really any means necessary to keep the music in the public eye, and not being able to perform in public, objectified by male critics, even if a woman could take the stage. So there's a frustration here, there's an inspiration here, and really the word that comes up is persistence.
Absolutely. And I think that's one of the most wonderful things that we discovered in our research, is that of the women that we've highlighted in this album, there is a variety in terms of their background. Some of them came from musical families. And while music wasn't really something that was acceptable for a woman to do as a profession, certainly a musical education was a sign of good background for women of a certain class. So there are women that were trained as musicians, but were not necessarily allowed to be paid as professionals if you compare them to their male colleagues and performers. So you have women that did have some kind of musical background, and yet who have others who we don't really know where they came from. All evidence points to the fact that they didn't come from very strong backgrounds in terms of music or musical support, but yet they were still able to find a way.
If you're just joining us, Baroque violinist Selina Amoat is with us here this afternoon. She's part of the celebrated ensemble Infusion Baroque. The album Virtuosa, now available to download, stream, and purchase as a 2-CD set. It comes complete with a booklet and website accompaniment, leaf-music.ca, for all the info there. As you choose the repertoire and the composers you wanted to feature, was there a through line musically that you wanted to highlight or that you even discovered?
I think when we first set out to do the Virtuoso project and the very, very beginning of this project back in 2017, it started out as a single concert, and then that quickly became a series of concerts. What we wanted to do was to really take this to a personal level and each of us explore women that represented our instruments. So whether it was the flute and recorder, the violin, the cello, the keyboard, those were sort of our guiding points in terms of the repertoire, the music that we explored. And then that sort of led us down this path. It's sort of going down a rabbit hole, because once you start looking into these historical women, you've quickly figure out that there are actually many more historical women that did really important, wonderful things than we were ever led to believe in our musical education. You know, we quickly discovered that in addition to performing, there are women that were successful at many other musical activities, professional activities as well, such as hosting salon parties in their homes or music publishing, or, you know, they were often gatekeepers of music too. So yeah, it sort of bloomed into this sort of holistic world where women were not just composers and performers, but all kinds of music enablers.
Tell us about several of the composers you chose, because I think a few of the names here might feel familiar to some, but there's some that is just, this is going to be an album of discovery for some people. So maybe a story or two about one or two of the composers that you feel really stands out here.
A couple of the more well-known composers that people might recognize are Clara Schumann and Elisabeth Jacquet de la Guerre, who was a French Baroque harpsichordist. And both Clara and Elizabeth were keyboardists. So this was an instrument that was acceptable for a woman to play. And this might be why many women composers of the time who were keyboardists are the ones that are more well known today, because it was more acceptable. In addition to those two, we also have a composer by the name of Maddalena Lombardini-Sirman, who was a violinist. And she went to one of the ospedali that Vivaldi taught at. So Maddalena was a student after the time of Vivaldi, a little bit closer to the classical period. And she knew from the beginning that she wanted to be a professional violinist. And she did everything that she could, including marrying another violinist so that she could actually leave the conservatory and tour and travel with her husband. And while doing all of this, she composed and she published her own works in Paris. And the more you look into her, a lot of the sources actually praise Maddalena for being the better violinist than her husband. And they actually divorced after 1 year of marriage. He went back to his home in Italy, and she continued to have a fairly successful career.
Selene Amawad, just congratulations on this. I do have a couple other composers I want to point out, but you're a part of this celebrated ensemble, Infusion Baroque, the album Virtuosa, out now, available for download, stream, and purchase as a 2-CD set. We heard from German composer Anna Amalia earlier and the flute sonata. This is the impromptu for violin and piano from the 19th century Italian composer Teresa Milanollo. What can you tell us about the piece we're about to hear?
This piece is probably one of the last works that Teresa composed. She didn't compose many works, but this piece is a solo piece for violin and piano. It's a very short piece. It's sort of in what we could consider maybe an improvisatory style. This was very common to, I would say, the 19th century, in a sense that it's written out, but it's meant to be explored in a way that almost makes it sound like it's improvised. It sets it apart from her other works, and I think it's just a fascinating piece for violin and piano.
Selene, thank you very much.
Thank you, Mark.
Let's listen. This is the music of Virtuosa.